Living Entrepreneurship by Sorty. My name is Jesse, the African Sun. Everyone, welcome to this broadcast. Mm-hmm. I am alongside the ever smiling, blessed Ephraim Rwanke.
Yeah. I'm always blessed. Someone actually, right before I came to record this, or came to studio, I called someone and I don't know if they were mocking me. Before I could even say, how are you? I'm like, hello, I'm blessed. I'm like, okay. But I truly am, man. Jesse, breath of life is blessings.
Yeah. Great. We will not take a lot of time to digress into the other issues. Mm-hmm. We just want to talk about capital. Mm. Capital, because capital is key. I know things we've mentioned here on the broadcast which are key. Mm-hmm. We've spoken about capital, and we have also spoken about cash flow. Mm-hmm. Cash flow being king. Mm-hmm. If you haven't listened to this podcast, look out for that podcast that talks about cash flow and how cash flow is king.
Yeah.
So there is on everyone's mind the appetite to start out to do. Open up a business, which is an okay thing to want to own a business, to want to run a business. But we are always held back by this one issue. Where do I find the money to start the business? And most of the time, every idea which we think will bring us returns in big volumes requires a lot of capital. Mm-hmm. But the question is, do I have to gather lots of money before I can begin a business?
So if you remember how this conversation came about, I called you, we're talking and we're trying to schedule the time for this. And I asked you, you asked me, what are we discussing this week? And I said, I want to talk about capital. There's this myth people have in their minds that you need a lot of money. Okay, it could be a myth. Who knows? But do you need a lot of money to start a business? Then I asked you, I'm like, I know you have an investment you've made in a recent investment in a business, and you invested quite a sizable amount of money, at least by the standards that I know for a startup, right? Mm. In our market. And so the question then I asked you was, could you have done the same thing without that investment?
Without the money?
Yeah. That kind of investment.
Normally it is the idea, mm-hmm. of course, sourcing for which idea could work, mm-hmm. What is the gap. But certainly, yes, you need money to start a business or even to run a business.
Okay, so we...
How much money? That could be the conversation maybe that we debate on how much money do I need to start, because any money could start a business.
That's what I was about to say. Now, that's on the side of money. But now let's talk of the word capital. Mm-hmm. Right? What is capital? And so the essence of what we're trying to do today, the discussion, we want to kind of drill down to the realities of what is required to actually start your business or even grow your business. Because once you've started your business, the question then comes in is, do you still need the money you think you're chasing, you're going to the bank to look for to actually grow your business? Because there's this idea we all have that capital is money. Jesse, capital is not limited to money, and that's why we limit ourselves. I'll give you a simple example. Let me not talk of an example just yet. Let me talk about now what capital is, right? From my own personal understanding of what capital has been in my life and my entrepreneurship journey, there are four types of capital that I know of. And they could be like three more, five more that I maybe haven't heard of, but these are the four main ones. The first one is financial capital. This is cold hard cash. Right? Mm-hmm. It could come from either debt or it could come from your own investment in capital, right? You borrow money from somewhere or you invest money from investors. So it could be either or. Number two, you have environmental capital. Environmental capital, and we've talked about these types of capital, but I want to reiterate it again. Environmental capital is this capital that comes from the fact that the environment you're in gives you an advantage to do what you need to do. So it gives you an advantage to pursue that business. I'll give you a simple example. Right now, agriculture businesses in Rwanda have environmental capital. What does that simply mean? Because the ecosystem in which they operate at this current moment is giving subsidies and support to agriculture agriculture ventures, that's a form of capital. We have something called social capital. Now, social capital is this kind of capital where it's about who you know. It's about who you know, Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I ask you how many business opportunities have come your way because of connections?
Because of who I know and because of who knows me.
Uh-huh. I mean, and that's exactly. And so that I like that. But and I think that is the essence of social capital. Then we now have human capital. Now, human capital is this idea that if Jesse on his best day can get 14 hours, he still isn't maximizing the 24 that he has each day. But there's a way to game the system. You can actually have more than 24 hours in a day. How? You can hire employees. You can have a team, like find partners. You work together, you invest the time. What ends up happening is that you go from having 14 hours as Jesse, then you get another person, you add 10, that's 24. You get another person that they add 10, that's 34. You find another person who works as hard as you, you get another 14. You find you're now at 40-something, 48 hours in one day available for you to actually be productive in your business. That's human capital. And now, let's now move back to the principles of capital, at least in the context of a for-profit business, right? Whenever capital is employed, there's a return that is expected, right? Now, you cannot expect to employ capital without the expectation of a return. Now, if we take all these four types of capital, we have financial, we have environmental, we have social, we have human. There is a demand for a return on investment on that capital. That's the fundamental principle. So when you understand that as an entrepreneur and you're like, okay, there are these four types of capital and the fundamental aspect of why this capital is available to me is I need to generate a return on investment for this capital. It now becomes easy for you to figure out how to employ that capital in your business. If you don't have money, you at least know somebody who can join you in your journey. If you don't have someone who can join you in your journey and money, at least you should know someone who can get you an opportunity. If you don't know someone who can get you an opportunity, there are some opportunities in your immediate environment that you can take advantage of that eventually can help you make money. So then the question then comes in is, yes, maybe for the idea that you want to do, it requires a lot of capital. I'll give you a simple example. You're not going to go start a construction business with, okay, that's a bad example because you can actually start a construction business with no money. But you're not going to start a mine with no money. It's semi-impossible. But in the context of that same gate I was about to give in construction that I think I can also apply to mining is that if you know someone who can get you a prospecting license, as an example, right? Someone is like, let's partner together. I'm a geologist. This other person is like, I'm skilled at this. Let's get together. Let's go look for a prospecting license. You get a prospecting license. You think you found a site that is good. Do you know what you can do? You then use your connections of who you know to go look for an investor. You never use a single coin. What ends up happening is you find someone comes in, puts in the financial capital. You have leveraged human capital and you've leveraged social capital. I'll give you a simple example. If guys are giving grants to, like, right now there's a grant / equity financing that's coming from Rwanda Green Fund around climate change and green businesses, right? Even ideas are being funded, just the ideas. And so then the question then comes in, do you need money in that instance to apply?
Not really, but maybe we're talking about the heavyweight startups.
Aha. Uh-huh.
If we were to come down to somebody who is a very young entrepreneur, they've never done anything, not even a concept, but they hear and they see people who have started things and they also want to emulate some of the things that have been started. For instance, when you see somebody who has opened up an events company, for example, and they have an office in a good space and they've started to get in clients and they are making money and you are motivated, you want to do something similar to what they are doing, you can't find a space without the money.
No, that's a fact.
You can't find people to write you concepts, creative directors to draw your concepts.
If you're going to go into a business, right off the bat, Jesse, if you're going to go into a business and you cannot write a concept for the work that you're doing, don't enter that business. I'm being serious. Okay, you continue your train of thought.
You have the idea, isn't it?
You have that. No, but you see, Jesse, that's the thing. You're now talking from the perspective of somebody who is flush with capital. So you have an idea. I'm coming to my point. You have an idea and you think you want to explore this idea, but you have no technical understanding of it. You're looking, by the way, that's the word. You're looking at it from the perspective of a serial entrepreneur. Because serial entrepreneurs are very good at spotting opportunities, but are not necessarily very good at converting those opportunities from an operational perspective. They'd rather come up with an idea, find a team, plug in the resources, and then let it run, and they have that small piece of the pie. I would genuinely tell you that I do not imagine anybody starting a business they do not know how to technically handle. You're going to just lose money. And I'm telling, I'm advising Jesse, in the context of I'm starting out, I have a little savings and I'm trying to do this, and you don't have a partner who has a technical, who has the technical knowledge, or at least is willing to learn on the job, you're going to lose money.
But don't we see around us that there are so many entrepreneurs who are illiterate, who have started from scratch, had an idea, invested in an idea, and they have been successful?
Name one who went into a highly technical business. They are not. They are not there. Like most of the people I know who lacked formal education to develop a technical skill, normally go into trading.
Trading and agriculture.
Exactly. No offense to those sectors. I'm a trader. So I'm not saying I'm educated, but I'm a trader. It's just that what I noticed is that to find those types of businesses are age-old businesses. The business of trade it was done centuries ago. Finding product, making sure the distribution is effective enough, delivering it on time, and watching cycles, economic cycles. That is the fundamental point of trade. You don't have a technical, there's no demand on a technical skill, but you're not going to get a literate person and they're going to code for you, create an AI model or something similar to what Gemini have done for, let's say, the medical sector, to assess medical files and determine the trends when it comes to health. Now that data is sold now to pharmaceutical companies so that they know what to do with that research, as an example. There's no way someone who's illiterate is going to handle such a business. They may have the idea as time progresses, but they come in as an investor because they've progressed. But when we talk about now, and that's why I keep saying, don't underestimate. So I posted a tweet, and this came from the biography of Leonardo da Vinci. So you know Leonardo da Vinci, the guy who painted the Mona Lisa. That's what he's famous for. But Leonardo da Vinci was known for so many other things, right? The quote was really interesting, that we need to seek knowledge for its sake. We need to normalize information that doesn't have purpose. Like, not all information has to be useful. Why don't we just have this desire or curiosity to learn more for the sake of just knowing? Now, interesting thing is, do you know what that does? It creates a depth from which you can pull from. And that cannot happen if you have not upskilled. Now, illiteracy is different from formal education, because education can be formal, it can be informal. And that's why you find you hear someone who has dropped out of Harvard but will still go on to create a very successful company. It's because just because he never got the degree doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's doing.
There are those who have no degree at all, no high school certificates. Those that we see even in real estate that have done so well.
But what is real estate? Real estate is the same. It's an age-old business.
It's more like
accommodation and shelter has been there for as long as mankind has been there. Mankind has had to figure out where to live.
There's no game plan to it?
The game plan is something that can be learned. What I'm trying to say is that I'm not, and again, I'm not discounting the skills that are necessary for someone to be able to apply themselves in any business, because any business requires skill. That's a fact. But what I'm trying to say is that there are some sectors that require a higher technical threshold than others. So like I said, trade, real estate. That's why I even remember at one point we talked about this, and I mentioned the difference between, this is my own definition, of a businessman and an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is looking to unlock value through innovation. A businessman is just looking to unlock value.
This is Living Entrepreneurship by Saul T. We're coming back on the second part of this podcast, where I want to query Ephraim, with the information that he's giving us today, would it encourage somebody to even start? Stay around. Welcome back to Living Entrepreneurship by Sloty. Ephraim Ramwenge, my co-host. My name is Jesse the African Son. This is a tough one. Mm-hmm. Because again, my peers, everyone says, Jesse, I want to be like you. And I ask why. Mm-hmm. Like you're able to do A, B, C, D, E. Mm-hmm. I'm not really doing much. Mm-hmm. I just play music, enjoy the music, and get some little extra money and put it into things which I find to be useful to me if they can bring me a return. Mm. It's not that hard. Mm. It can be simple when mm-hmm. you choose to make it simple. It can be complicated the way Ephraim wants to make it really look so complicated that you need a lot of education for you to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to help me to understand, because every day,
yeah.
and even when I go online to read, mm-hmm. I find so many questions from so many seeking to be entrepreneurs, wondering mm-hmm. where do I start?
Okay.
What do I need mm. to start? Mm. And when you go into these meetings, business meetings, everyone is talking about capital, but the capital you're talking about is money.
By the way, do you know you've thank you, Jesse. Why? Because I think you'll know how to bring this conversation back to a practical point. And I thank you because there's something you have done. You have introduced a fifth capital. And again, life is, as you listen to this, that's why we call this the School of Business, is because at the end of the day, you're not going to have me just telling Jesse, but Jesse also telling me as well. We learn from each other. Mm. He has introduced the fifth capital, if you have not picked it up already, where he's talked about the capital of self. Self-capital. This is the fifth one, and I think it's the most important one. And I think this is why you and I are failing to agree in this area, because I think we underestimate how important the depth of knowledge is in someone's ability to succeed at life. And literacy, illiteracy, education, degree, formal, all of that is just many ways to describe something, but it's about knowledge. Do you have knowledge to do what you need to do? Mm. Jesse, you cannot tell me if you don't know the difference between revenue and profit, you're going to succeed at business. Even that illiterate man knows the difference. Am I lying?
No, you're not.
We can assume that if someone has started a business 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and even if he doesn't know how to read and write, even to today, but that man knows the difference between the money that came in at the till that day and what is left on the account after they've paid all bills and paid taxes. He knows the difference. Even if he doesn't know that it's called revenue and profit, mm-hmm. he knows that money that was received at the till when the customer paid is not my money. I have to share it with some other people. But the one on the bank account when everything has been paid, now that's mine. Mm-hmm. So his knowledge base exists. And the reality is that you cannot avoid strengthening a knowledge base if you're looking to make money or to run a business. Because at the end of the day, ignorance is not bliss, at least in the context of making money. Ask anybody who has ever done business or gone into a sector to do business and they lacked the knowledge and information about that sector and ask them if they've succeeded. And it may not even be technical knowledge about the sector, but also just understanding of the fundamentals of what it takes to make a business successful. I can tell you my own personal experience, right? For me, I can call myself an operations scientist. Systems and processes, that's my expertise. I know how to organize things and put them in little boxes and know how to make things work in a symbiotic environment. That's my skill. So I can enter into a business arrangement with Jesse in the media space. I may not know much about the media space. I'm just giving this as an example. But I may not know, but Jesse does as my human capital, my partner. But the capital of self is my ability to self-organize and to understand what it takes for a business to be effective and efficient from a systems and processes perspective. Mm. And so when I take that step back, I will keep repeating this. The capital of self is so powerful. And if one does not take the time to self-develop, they're never going to succeed. And now coming back to this point about being practical, because again, this is living entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
How do we now apply this in our real lives? Should people be scared and say, snap, I don't know enough to start? Let me tell you this. Number one, entrepreneurship is one of the few jobs in the world that you learn on the job. You don't get the skill before you start the job. You get the skills as you progress through the job. So that means in your business, you need to cultivate what? Or at least in your personal life, you need to cultivate a spirit of learning. You need to create a feedback loop where your business feeds you information back to tell you whether you're doing a good or bad job. It could be the people you work with. It could be your customers. It could be your suppliers. It could be just the general ecosystem. It could be everyone telling you, hey, Jesse, you're off track. Now, what that simply does is it grows you. It grows you. Because I'm a firm believer that perfection is the enemy of progress. If you're waiting for the right time to start, you're never going to start. But if you're going to start, you need to understand that you're starting from a negative because you don't know. Mm-hmm. And you're going to enter into a sector where you're competing against people who have been in that sector for 10 to 20, 30 years.
Now, the most important capital. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want us to finish this conversation.
We're not talking about money.
Without talking about the most important capital. Now we have looked at the fifth capital.
Which I've added.
Now you have self. You have the environment, you have the human capital, you have partners coming across. There is the financial capital that you need, but which is the most important capital?
Okay, so now let me rock your world here. I'm going to rock your world. Does money come from the sky or does it come from people?
People make money.
No, but if I was to go look for money, where would it come from?
From people.
Uh-huh, okay, we're on track. When we talk of social capital, what are we talking about? You're talking about relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Those relationships are not with doors or trees. They're with
people.
Okay. We're together, right? Mm-hmm. So money comes from people. Relationships are built with people. Now, when you're in environment, that environment is defined by the existence of you amongst a group of?
Of people.
Aha. Now, I love the way you're with me. I love the way you're with me. Now, if you're going to learn something as Jesse, you're going to learn it from?
People.
So if we talk of the most important capital of the five, right? Mm. Wouldn't it be human resource?
Your human resource or people?
It would be people. But the five titles of capital, it's human capital. So human capital is literally people. That is the most important form of capital.
Now I want to rock your world
too. Yes, rock mine.
Listen, you can have all these people around you, but mining the capital out of these people remains a challenge. Unlock our world.
So how do you unlock the capital that exists in the people around you, right? How do you cultivate these relationships where they give you opportunities, social capital? How do you get them to a point where they trust you enough to give you financial capital? How do you get to a point where in the environment that you live in, you are benefiting from those people? How do you get them to say, hey, Jesse, we are with you? Number one, you need to know where you're going.
Which comes back to the capital of self.
Exactly. You need to, wow, I like that. Oh, lifers, today is a good day. You guys are deep. I don't know if you've understood, we've become philosophical, but still, this is, stay with us, yeah? At the end of the day, you need to sit and ask yourself, by the way, that's really deep. You need to sit and ask yourself, you're like, how am I going to mine this value that exists in people?
Yeah.
And now that introspective assessment or that introspection is what now determines, it can now be called self capital, because it's still going to be an internal discussion with Jesse and, or in my case, is with Ephraim, right? So at the end of the day, if we're now to argue or not argue, then maybe the fifth capital that you've introduced today is the most important one. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, because I think it starts with you. The ecosystem will be there. And that's why, even in the midst of opportunities, you still find people who cannot mine the opportunity, because it starts with them. It has to be them.
And so can I ask a question? And now I'm asking this to you. Have you seen how have you been able to cultivate that aspect? Because I've seen it in you, Jesse. In what sense? You are very good at spotting talent. And I've said this before. That's number one. Number two, you're also very good at getting that talent out of people, because you can spot talent, but very few people know how to get people to embrace that talent. Mm-hmm. I'm one beneficiary of your superpower. Mm-hmm. How have you gotten to that point? Again, you may have many years of experience, but that's besides the point. I just want to know, there's something that you have cultivated on a personal level that has allowed you to be able to do that.
I might not even know how to define it. Maybe it's just a default setting.
Mm.
That one, mm-hmm. I am not afraid mm-hmm. to see the giant mm-hmm. in another entrepreneur mm-hmm. rise.
Okay.
I am not afraid to see how much space they will occupy, mm-hmm. even if I were to take up a smaller space.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that I would benefit from their contribution mm-hmm. to the space.
Mm-hmm. Just wait. Lifers, you need a finger snap, Jesse, because I don't know if you're hearing what I'm hearing, but this is someone who's saying, I am okay not receiving the credit or shining as long as I'm a part of this person's glow up. Let me use Gen Z language. Yeah, I hope they don't kill me for it. I know. Sorry if you're listening. Yeah. But my point is this. Again, if you have heard what Jesse has just said, he has said, sometimes for you to be able to cultivate or to mine this value that exists in the people around you, you need to understand that it's not about you. Sometimes yeah. the world does not revolve around you, that people don't exist for you, that you can actually exist for them
mm-hmm.
and benefit in the process.
I know people who, for instance, in the workspace, who would say, I cannot offer you help mm-hmm. because you might take my space.
Yeah.
And I'm not that person. Mm. If I offered you help
mm.
and you outshined and mm. performed better mm. and you took the space, mm. then I was not making the right contribution. You were to make that contribution. I have my partner, for instance, at Sparkle Beauty Lounge.
Mm.
I front her to everyone as the proprietor.
Mm.
She spends more time mm. at the business.
Mm.
She walks in early.
Mm-hmm.
She finishes late.
Mm.
I don't have to participate in anything.
Mm.
There's no way I can talk to women about beauty and anything. She will do the job.
Mm.
I will eventually benefit.
Mm. Profit is profit. The shareholding is yours. I mean, the shareholding is shareholding. Yeah.
She could blow up and maybe start her own ventures and mm. do whatever she does
and
elsewhere.
It's fine.
But in a time like this,
yeah.
I am okay. She's growing mm-hmm. and we are growing together mm-hmm. and that's absolutely fine.
And so now, coming back to this whole aspect of mining, and I don't know how much time we have left.
Just 2 minutes.
Okay, so quickly, if self is the most important capital, I'm a young person who's listening to this. I want to start a business. What do I start with? From your own personal experience, Jesse.
I think there should be initiative.
Mm-hmm. Initiative to do what? To learn or initiative to do?
I think 360.
Mm-hmm.
Initiative,
mm-hmm.
first of all, to find out where is the right information.
Mm-hmm.
Initiative to dig into the right information, to mm-hmm. invest into the right information.
Mm-hmm.
Initiative to equip yourself with the tools.
Mm-hmm.
Initiative to go and meet the right people. For mm-hmm. instance, the initiative to go and say, I think I need a mentor to guide me.
I think that's the... Mm-hmm. So you... Uh-huh, sorry,
packaging yourself...
Mm-hmm.
to attract the resources, which is the resource we normally talk about as
yeah.
the most important resource, which
yeah.
is people.
Yeah.
So every day I receive phone calls, just say, how can we collaborate? How can mm-hmm. we collaborate? What have I done? I have packaged myself
yeah.
in a way. It
yeah.
starts with me to package myself
yeah.
that I can attract the other resources
yeah.
to come to me and
yeah.
seek for collaboration. Now
yeah.
through collaboration,
mm.
I start to see the opportunities.
Just as a closing remark to top up to that, I recently learned that value chases value.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never find value chasing a deficit. Like money in the context of capital will never go where it doesn't think more will be created.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have not worked on intrinsic value that you're creating in of yourself, but also in your immediate environment, it becomes very hard for people of value to be attracted to you.
And I think you do the honors to bring this conversation to a close.
I like the way Jesse is giving me this task. But so Lifers, thank you so much. This is Living Entrepreneurship by Salty with Jesse and yours truly, Ephraim Ramwenge. You can catch us on Royal FM as always. You can catch us on our social media platforms as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think we exist because we want you to also exist. And not just exist, but to thrive.
Mm.
And so I think that said, am I doing it well?
Yeah, sure. You have done it well.
And I know that said, I think we can close it off here.
Thank you so much, Lifers, for being a part of this podcast. And we'll catch up again next weekend when another episode run through. If you have any topics you'd like us to discuss, slide into our DM, talk to your friend.
Yeah, and Jesse, you can check us out on X, on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube at Salty Africa. That's SALTEE Africa.
Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.